The following is from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg, and joining us from our Bismarck studio, Sue Balcom. She's with the Tri-County Alliance, and she and her husband operate the Root Cellar, a small farm north of Mandan. Thanks for being with us, Sue.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Sue, you have also put together a book called Women Behind the Plow, and this is telling those often overlooked stories of the contributions that women make to the farm. We're not probably really using plows so much anymore, but what were the kinds of things that the women in your book would have been doing this time of year? And then we'll talk about what you're doing now.
Very good. I always like to remember when I'm working in my house, what would my grandmother be doing now with her 12 kids running around the house? Well, naturally, they would start their spring off with the longer days. Everybody's up earlier. The littlest kids would go out and probably feed the chickens, which would just now be starting to lay eggs. And eggs are very important, of course, to all of those wonderful baked goods, especially around Easter time. They would be spring cleaning, you know. They would take the big rugs out of the house and they would hang things outdoors in the new warm sunshine, because when I die and go to heaven, I'm going to get to sleep on sun-dried sheets every single night, and I just can't wait. But these women would also, of course, in addition to supporting their husbands who would be probably out in this weather, this year, probably be out chewing their fingernails, wondering when they can get out there with their plows. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was kind of the time of year where I clean out my refrigerator and my root cellar, and then these ladies would probably be doing that also. You know, you wouldn't think about canning in the spring, but Mary Ann Lair, who lives in between Lair and Wishick, told me once that they used to process two hogs in the fall. Because then, in the summertime, whatever was left, she said they would sit in the back of the room. The hams would sit in the back of the room of the summer kitchen all winter long. They soaked in a brine solution with garlic and spice to cure. And then in the spring, they would take them out and hang them in the smokehouse, and they'd use binder twine threaded through the outside skin. Her dad would smoke them only so long every day for a full week, making sure they never got too hot. Then they were baked, and then they were canned. So they did this canning in the spring, and they would use these hams all summer long. They had a crews that would come in, you know, to work during the summer on some of these farms, and they had to make sure that they had food to keep these people fed.
And it's just a reminder that the hams that we just love, you know, various holidays throughout the year, they started out as a way to preserve pork.
That's exactly right. And that itself is a preservation method. And some of these people would smoke in the fall and some of them would smoke in the spring, but that definitely kept that meat from spoiling. And I would like to say that they did hang those out in the granary or kept them frozen in a big barrel outside the house. And I don't remember very many people getting too sick from eating those kinds of things, but we would never think of doing that today on the farm. We have electricity and they didn't, so.
You have, in this book, Women Behind the Plow, you have people talking about firsthand experience with their lives growing up in North Dakota before we had a lot of the conveniences we have today.
Well, these women always had to work. I mean, there was no getting around it. Living on a farm meant working from sunup till sundown to feed your family and make enough money for other things that they couldn't make on the farm, shoes, maybe cloth for clothing and stuff. But they always had these great little stories about their birth. I asked one of these gals one time, I said, "Do you remember when you were born? Was there a midwife present?" And she kind of said to me, no, because I was just a tiny little baby. I don't remember anything about that. But Frida Ketterling, who lives in Wishick, actually in a house that was on my great-grandfather's lot at one time, said this to me.
I know it was on a Sunday morning at 7 o'clock. It was raining and damp, you know. So I suppose my dad had to start the stove, the cook stove. And I was 3 pounds, So my mom put me in a shoebox and put me in that warmer on the stove to keep me warm enough. My mom always said if she wouldn't have been on the plow all the time that spring, I'd have probably been bigger. But she was plowing and seeding and all that stuff. And then I was born in Chowin, so maybe helped.
Can you imagine that, being put in a shoebox, being so tiny, and then surviving?
I'm just glad they didn't put in another, you know, bunch of wood in the stove.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That would have been awful.
Was it hard to get the women in your book to talk?
You know, they always said to me, I don't know. I don't have anything to say, you know, like they weren't important. And yet they were so precious and their stories were so awesome. And there was this one gal, Arlene Kramer, she said she's never been interviewed in her life. And so they were kind of timid at first. But, you know, I have this kind of natural inclination to bring out the best in people. And so after a while, they just started talking to me. It didn't hurt that I came from down there, even though my last name currently didn't reveal that at first. Once I mentioned who I was, they were like, holy cow, that's your grandpa's house over there. My cousin's married to your mom's sister. You know, your dad and my dad were best friends or confirmed together. So I found out that I, by blood or marriage, am related to that entire county.
Well, of course, another aspect of life before modern-day conveniences was that if you had kids, they worked on the farm, and that would sometimes get in the way of other things that kids typically do now, like go to school.
Isn't that interesting? Can you imagine me going into the school and saying, yep, got to get those grandkids out. It's time to plow that garden up and get those vegetables planted. I met this wonderful woman, Lenore Ida Ackerman Couttier, who actually lives in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, but she is from the Wishik area, and one of her relatives, I think it may have been her dad, was an excellent photographer. She supplied a lot of wonderful photos for the book, but she also wrote an essay for Women Behind the Plow. And she said her mother loved school and the teachers that they had. The school year was quite short when spring work began. All the children needed to stay at home and help with the work until the harvest was completed in the fall. So school was mainly geared towards the younger children who would not do the regular work at home. Most dropped out of school before completing the eighth grade. So if you were too young to do these kinds of chores, like plowing in the spring or harvesting in the fall, you got to go to school. Hmm. Otherwise, you are at home working.
Wow. Well, Women Behind the Plow tells an important piece of history. And, of course, nowadays, you and your husband have this small farm north of Mandan, which probably doesn't require quite this level of attention.
Well, we've got a lot smaller piece of property than most of these people did. And we have other things that they don't, some modern conveniences like if my plants die because we had a frost when I wasn't told there was going to be a frost, I could go buy some replacement plants. You know, they couldn't do that. They had to save seed from year to year. They had to grow all their own plants. They had to carry water lots of times. You know, we have a little irrigation system. We have a beautiful little greenhouse that we built out of recycled materials. We have a hoop house, which is a season extension tool, so I can actually get out and plant things earlier. So, yes, there's a lot of things that we have that they didn't have. And the biggest one, of course, is electricity.
Yeah. I imagine that makes a huge difference on the farm.
Yeah, because you can turn on the radio and get a weather report and find out if it's going to be frost out.
So. That's exactly right.
All right. So. Sue Belcom is with the Tri-County Alliance, and she and her husband operate the Root Cellar Farm north of Mandan. Thanks for being with us, Sue.
Thank you very much.
Main Street airs at 3 and 7 Central weekdays on Prairie Public.